First, one of the core concerns with the coronavirus outbreak has to do with the availability of testing. Yesterday, we talked about new reporting from WisConText that looked at the testing capacity for the novel coronavirus here in Wisconsin. Today, we want to take a closer look at how doctors and lab workers are working to fill the gaps in testing on their own. Dr. Bobby Pritt is the director of the Clinical Parasitology Lab at the Mayo Clinic. She's part of the team that developed Mayo Clinic's coronavirus test. Dr. Pritt, thanks a lot for being with us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Well, when did Mayo Clinic realize, hey, we're going to have to make our own test for this thing?
Well, it was in about the second week of February that we realized this pandemic was coming to the United States and we had to be prepared. So that's when we put a team together. It was led by my colleague, Dr. Matt Binegar, pulled together about 15 people, and they essentially worked day and night to pull together a very accurate, reliable test in just 3 weeks. And to put this in perspective, usually it takes more like 3 months or more like 6 months to develop and implement a test. They just did an amazing job pulling it together.
I want to talk about what a challenge this is, because this is a novel coronavirus, meaning it's new. We haven't seen this exact one before. How difficult does it make it to come up with a test for something that's brand new effectively?
Well, there are a lot of challenges. That's a great question. This is something we didn't have access to, so we need to get a hold of specimens that are positive. And early on, that could be quite challenging if all the specimens are in a different country. Thankfully, someone from the World Health Organization and the CDC posted the entire genetic sequence of the virus online. So people were able to access that and design tests that could detect the genetic viral material of the virus that causes COVID-19. But still, as a brand new organism, we have nothing to compare it to. We just have to do our best to create a test that we think can reliably detect the virus.
A virus, as I understand it, is a moving target. They evolve, they mutate at different speeds sometimes. How do you make sure you're testing the right bit that's still going to be there?
Yeah, well, you have to think about that for sure. And I think initially that is why we all created tests like the Mayo Clinic test, where it detects two targets, one that's very specific to this novel coronavirus, but one that is broader that detects the whole family of coronaviruses. So if the virus were to mutate, we still have that second part of the test that detects the broader family of coronaviruses, specifically the SARS coronaviruses. So it's a backup to make sure we could still detect the virus even if it mutates. But that's going to be a moving target for sure.
Walk us through what is actually happening in a lab. Because I think like a lot of people, I picture some people in lab coats and there's, you know, beakers and test tubes. And that's as far as I get. What actually happens when you're trying to develop this?
Yeah, well, you first, when you're developing it, you have to get a hold of positive specimens and you look at the genetic code of the virus and you pick a region that is unique to that virus so that you can say that if you detect that region, it's definitely the virus you're looking for. And then you have to do some work on the computer to design a very specific probe, a piece of RNA or DNA that can go and detect the specific part of the virus that you're looking for. And right now we're using a test, the test that we designed and what most people are using, that's called PCR, polymerase chain reaction. It's essentially looking for the viral RNA. And it does that by finding the viral RNA, but by amplifying it and creating it to go from maybe just a few copies up to millions of copies. So it's at a high enough level that it's easily detectable in the specimen. So that involves getting a hold of virus or genetic material that you can then put into specimens and then run with the new test that you've designed to see if you could actually detect the virus like you hoped to. That's all the design stage. Then there's a whole stage where you actually have to perform a long series of experiments to prove that your test is only detecting the virus you're looking for, that it can reliably do so, and that it is able to detect low amounts that would be clinically important for patients.
We're talking to Dr. Bobby Pritt, director of the Clinical Parasitology Lab at the Mayo Clinic, part of the team that developed Mayo Clinic's coronavirus test. Dr. Britt, so you've done the research, you've got a test that works, you've verified that it works. How do you go from there to something you can deploy in doctors' offices and get these tests turned around?
Well, thankfully, developing tests is something that the Mayo Clinic has done for a very, very long time. Really, since our laboratory has been around, we've been developing tests. So we're very familiar with the process, and we have a good system in place and good partnerships with all of our physicians' offices. So all we need is for the physicians or the allied health staff workers to obtain a clinical specimen, usually a nasal pharyngeal swab or a throat swab, a nasal swab. They put that swab into a tube that has a nice transport media to keep the virus, virus's DNA and or the virus's RNA intact, and then they can send it to the laboratory. And of course, to do this, you need a computer system that can transmit the information and receive it. You need to have a label for each patient's specimen that has the patient's name and another identifier, like their date of birth or their medical clinic number. So all of that is built on a lot of existing systems, which thankfully we had in place already. It's not something that just any lab could just start doing if they had never tested clinical specimens before.
We've been hearing an issue in Wisconsin and around the country that there are shortages of some of the basic science stuff you need to do these kind of tests, things like the chemical reagents, the medium that you keep a virus intact in long enough to successfully test for it. Is that something that you are encountering there?
We are to some extent, but we've developed a system of backups where if one system is short on a certain reagent, we have another system in place. So shortly after we created the Mayo Clinic test, we brought in a second test, a commercial test made by a manufacturer that is performed on a completely different instrument by different staff. So now we have two teams working around the clock 24/7. And then recently we brought in a third test. So having a bit of overlap provides a backup system that if one test all of a sudden became short on reagents, we can't get testing kits from the company, well, we still have the two other tests that we could use. But like you said, there's shortages out there, and it extends all the way to the point where the physician's seeing the patient and collecting the specimen. We're short on masks, on gowns, and eye shields that our healthcare workers are wearing. We're short on the swabs that they're using to collect the specimen. And then, like you said, that media, that liquid that they put the swab into, there's shortages of that. So another thing that we've done at Mayo Clinic is we've started to make some of our own things, like the viral transport media that the swab goes into to come to the laboratory is something we can actually make in-house. So we've started doing that. We are packaging it up in tubes and then sending it out to other physician offices so that they have the necessary supplies to collect the specimen to send.
So you've got this test made and done. You've got backups. You're starting to invent or to develop your own materials to use in the place of shortages. What are some of the other things you are working on or researching when it comes to the various stages of the testing process here?
Well, we're continuously looking for ways to make the test better or faster and increase our capacity. I told you already we're now using three completely different tests, one that's lab developed and the other two that are made by commercial manufacturers. We're now looking at the possibility of adding a fourth test because even though we're now somewhere about 7,000 tests a day that we can perform, that's still not enough. And we're primarily testing patients that are symptomatic, but if we ever want to ramp up to be able to test asymptomatic people that have potentially been exposed, we're clearly going to need to increase our capacity. So we're looking for ways to do that. Some of it has been to buy additional pieces of equipment when available. Everyone wants these same pieces of equipment across the United States, so everything's in short supply. But yes, we're looking at different ways to make the process simpler. We're trying to make ways so we can deliver the test faster, and that's another important component. We strongly believe that we are not doing anyone a service if we can't deliver results within a very short period of time. So our goal, which we've stuck to and exceeded, is delivering results within 24 hours. We're actually somewhere closer to the 10 to 15 hours once we get the specimen in our lab.
Dr. Pritt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
That's Dr. Bobbi Pritt, head of Mayo Clinic's Clinical Parasitology Lab. She was with us today to talk about her work at Mayo Clinic to develop a test for the novel coronavirus. You can read more about that story at wiscontext.org.